Hey guys, this is Dean with the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. Just breaking in at the beginning of this episode very quickly to tell you that this is a bit of a unique episode because at the end of the episode, so once our outro music hits, Matthew and I, because we recorded this live on Mixler, we actually launch into a little bit of a spoiler discussion regarding some of the comic book spoilers, at least that surround this particular area of the story as to where we are in The Walking Dead. So this is just a warning. We do give you another warning at the end of the episode, but if you're anything like me, when you're listening to podcasts, sometimes you forget, you just kind of let it roll or you miss something and then it's going to go into spoiler territory. And I do not want to spoil anything major for you guys from the comic books. Consider yourself warned. I just want you guys to know right up front that as our outro music is closing, you are going to hear a discussion that Matthew and I had after the recording regarding some spoilers that we wanted to give to some of the live listeners in the Mixler chat. So, yes. And that's another thing. If you haven't checked this out on Mixler, you should do so. The contact information is going to be right here in the show notes. Just scroll your little podcasting app down and you'll see them. And we do live recordings on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, enough of my blathering. Let's get to the show. LSG Media presents The Walking Dead Podcast. Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean and I am joined by Matthew. Today we are going to be talking about the Walking Dead episode Twice as Far. We will be jumping through each of the scenes. We'll get to some listener comments and we will wrap with our final thoughts. Well, we're here. We're at the episode and we got a lot to talk about. How you doing tonight, Mr. Anderson?
I'm doing good. We're each simpatico drinking our throat code teas. I love that.
We are drinking. Now, when you say you're doing good, is that like you're robbing from the rich and giving to the poor?
Or generally speaking, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. You're doing good. By coating your throat with tea, you're doing good because you're going to give the listeners a nice sounding voice.
Much better than an uncoated throat.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you run out of throat coat, just give me a buzz. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
With tea, I mean, not my dick. I don't know. Was there confusion there?
I mean, did you want there to be? No.
Well, give me some initial impressions on Twice as Far.
Fuck. Well, definitely the most heartbreaking scene of any episode in a while for me and for probably all of us. That was fucking
yeah,
rough.
Yeah, but I really thought Eugene was being brave when he told Abraham off. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just to see that relationship start to splinter, the pain. No, but yeah, no, I enjoyed the episode overall. Like I was saying, first genuinely shocking character death I've seen in fucking a while. Totally blew me away. However, I am fucking baffled by the ending, and I can't wait to dive into that deep pool. Some interesting stuff to talk about here. But on the whole, I mean, for one, I really like that we finally got an episode with a heavy amount of Rosita and Daryl. I think that was a good choice. We've been needing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's initial impressions are I've been calling I don't know for how long now. I got what I asked for, didn't I, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You did.
I did, didn't I?
Somebody bit off a little more than they could chew.
Yeah, I took a real big bite of that T-bone steak I've been asking for. And let me tell you what it is, in case this is your first time listening, and that's this. I've been asking for a long time for an unceremonious death, for a not a big lead-up, not a big fucking who's your what and the flashbacks and the suck my dick, all that bullshit.
And for a character we care about, not Tobin's second cousin.
Correct. Not Tobin's second cousin who nobody cares about, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I asked for.
When you wish upon a star.
You can imagine how I ripped up in applause when the arrow came through her head. I didn't actually.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, I didn't. That's a little harsh. However, I did go, wow, this is very much the Departed elevator to me. Pop! Dead.
Yeah, there
Gone.
You go.
No, like, oh, I've been bitten.
I must clutch the wound. Give me the image of my son. Give me the photo I took 4 years ago before this. And
let me kiss it goodbye.
Back when I had a fucking weird British accent and... but I didn't want to,
and then the fucking whole thing, and then everyone lines up like it's awake except you're alive, like they did for Bob. You know,
yeah,
it's weird.
True.
So, yeah, that's what I was hoping for, an unceremonious, like, flap, whap death. So I got one, and that's kind of what happened here. So, yeah, man, that was wild. The end of the episode is utterly baffling. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
I honestly think it's dog shit. That's it.
I can logically trace their lead up to this. I'm like, okay, it didn't come completely out of nowhere. I can follow the logic, but I don't really buy it, is the problem.
I know what they're, I see this. I'm just not sure about it. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know about this. Like, just up and out. I don't know. Seems like weak sauce to me. There it is. I said it. So, we will get to that when we get to the end. We can speculate till our fucking heads turn blue. But before that, why don't we just start crack-a-lacking at this? We got a big pre-credit sequence here. We have Olivia in the food storage. We got this kind of sad, swanky Zeppelin guitar.
Yeah.
Right?
Mists of the Mountains guitar.
Yeah. And we got this bo staff, rosary, cell blocks, food stores, rinse, repeat going on. Mm-hmm. We come to realize that it looks like Morgan's been making a jail cell.
There we go. I nailed that shit. I called that. Mm. Making the good old-fashioned stockade.
Mm. Well,
and when Rick comes in to question him about it, he just asks why, and he says, so that you can have more choices next time.
Yeah, maybe.
And then Rick goes, oh, you mean like bringing them back in here and locking them up and watching them starve? And Morgan's like, no, not that.
Not that.
Not that
I gotta
thing.
Say, I think Morgan's ahead of the curve here on the new world. He's like, you know what? The white folk ain't controlling the jails this time around. I'm going to get out in front of that fucking curve. I'm going to be the jail master. And
I got the skeleton key now.
I got the key this time, bitch. I think that's what's going on here. Smart move. Very wise by Morgan.
There we go.
But no, he tells Rick this gives us options. I like that.
I do too. It's a compromise back toward civilization, which is, in the end of the day, where you have to be headed.
Yes. Yeah, you need options. I don't know if you can reform people and all this shit. But I think it, because what happens is if you come across somebody or if somebody commits some kind of crime or something weird happens, you can't just default to murder them or execute them, however you want to say it, and or exile, right?
No.
There's got to be kind of an in-between here where maybe we put them in here while we figure it out. Maybe if we capture somebody from the opposing squad, we throw them in here so they don't pull a fucking wolf and escape.
There you go. And I mean, because also at the end of the day, killing people is just creating enemies. You're either, you know, making, inspiring revenge for all their friends and compatriots if you kill them, or if you exile them, well, now they just have a fucking chip on their shoulder against you and they want to be your enemy. You're creating future problems in the long run.
And it's hard to keep somebody under lock and key when, you know what I'm saying? When you're deliberating, what are you going to stick them in the basement somewhere? That's what I mean.
True.
It's hard to,
We saw how sloppy that shit got when they were just in their like half finished drywall basement trying to hold everybody up.
Right. 100%, man. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand the logic behind this by Morgan. And besides, it gives him something to do because, you know, idle hands.
It's true. He's the devil's. How much can he polish that bow staff? I mean, Jesus.
Right. I don't know. So yeah, how many times can he do kata in the fucking tall grass? I don't know. He's got limited time. But yeah, so we're just, the whole pre-credit thing is just a, here is life. We're trying to get back to some semblance of normalcy. We have Father G kind of walking a beat now with a confident smirk on his face. I like that.
I was going to say, he actually looks like everybody else is in kind of a state of turmoil in this. They're doing things, but people look a little uncomfortable in what they're doing. He's the one who actually looks like he's settled in. He's like, yeah, I like this. I'm into this now. I have a role. I'm, you know, happily filling it.
Right. And then you have, of course, Tobin and Carol are a thing. They're chilling on the porch, a little kissy kiss.
Ooh. Rosita on the rebound with Spencer. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we got awkward rifle handoffs between Eugene and some no-name knucklehead.
Some redshirter. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice in the cell block area that some of the cell blocks had graffiti on them? I like that because they're salvaged concrete blocks.
Oh, I didn't catch
that.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
And yeah, chilling on the porch with the rosary and cigarettes. A nice shot of Rosita's cute little belly. And then the fucking doofus Spencer in her bed. Well, I guess I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah. Like, well, what's the only single good-looking piece of man-ass in town? Fine, give me that.
Yeah. She's not going to bang some no-name guy anyway, because as soon as she does, that person has to have a story, so you might as well just have her fuck the other guy. I get it. It's easier.
This loser's already got an established story. Come here.
Yeah. Daryl's fucking playing with toys. And then Carol comes up and asks him about the bike. They share a smoke. And they start to talk about Dwight. So they're kind of setting us up for Dwight's return, which happens pretty quickly.
I should have killed him. I should have killed him. I'm Daryl.
Well, she goes all, you know, having, oh, well, of course you didn't. It's who you are. You can't shake it.
Right.
But, yeah. That's when he's saying, they. I guess he's basically saying his nature is wrong. He's like, nah, I should have. Yeah, maybe that is who I am, but I fucked up.
Maybe I made a mistake, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. We get some repeating shots of all this shit. We're about 6 minutes into the show already. So we got under 40 minutes when the show starts. So not much happens this week.
And I think, you know, it's on my second watch, I was really thinking about how that is kind of intentional. Of, I think the reason we see some of the sloppiness we see later on is because of, you know, even the way they fade into days in this opening part and everything, it's implying that, yeah, time is passing. Everybody's getting used to things, getting back to normal. You know, you're starting to get soft again. You're like not hardening, you know, you're not staying fully alert.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. And then we have the credits, and then we get into Abraham and Eugene heading out.
Eugene's new little baby ponytail.
Yep. We have a walker doing a little flossing with a pipe.
Yeah. Ugh. And then freaking out Denise.
And then talk to me about Spencer and Rosita. He's getting a little like, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we? But to be honest, I mean, I get what you say, because I like his line of, what are we doing? Whatever it is, it's fine. I just kind of want to know what it is.
Right.
Because, yeah, he's not going to turn this shit down. Who would?
Nobody. I think what's, so they must be, they've probably been kind of fucking for a while now.
Yeah, a couple days, a week or two, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. And because now he's like, what are we doing? And she's like, what do you mean? Why you got to put
am
a
I going to catch feelings? Should I? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean,
she's definitely not ready for anything actually serious. I think she's just throwing him a bone of like, yeah, we'll do dinner. Fuck off. Stop bothering me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Denise proposes to run to Edison's apothecary and boutique.
Apothecary.
Ooh. Talk
the wizard store. Well, I like challenge. Yeah, she's noticed that this place, you know, before she got to Alexandria, I guess. But yeah, that it's mostly a tourist little shop, but if it's a legitimate apothecary, it should have lots of drugs, which it sounds like at this point. I think part of the establishing shots of the opening too were showing that their food supply is looking good and healthy again.
Yes.
You know, they're stocked up. So medicine is probably the next priority. I have the doubt that the Hilltop had a lot of medicine to give them. So yeah, this makes sense as far as a target to go after. But it is weird from the jump, her insistence of, I wanted to go with you guys.
Yes.
And Daryl drills down on her right away for it.
He does. Her insistence to go, I mean, let's talk about Denise a little bit. And let's talk about this plan.
Yeah. So the swan song of Denise that this episode is.
I think it's very funny that Denise is like, well, not funny is a bad way to say it. Funny is the plan. I actually imagine Denise doing this, honestly. Denise has to prove to herself that she's ready to do this shit. She pushes. Yeah. The three of them are going to go. She doesn't, you know, Rosita's like, I don't want this responsibility to protect her by myself for us two to go alone. I think we need to go together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now,
and I mean, it's revealed later on that she, you know, she even says, after they're out there and everything, she's like, I have training for this, when she's talking about being a psychologist. And she very purposely asked Rosita and Daryl, specifically those two, to be on this trip with her. She wanted it to be with those people for that dynamic. So she had kind of an idea of how she wanted this to work.
Right.
And so I get that perspective as well. It's just the insistence. And I mean, you can't knock anybody in The Walking Dead, especially the Alexandrians, for at some point, they're all like pubescent kids. They're like, well, I gotta get out there, I gotta try. And it's like, well, at some point, yeah, they do have to learn. They do have to start becoming competent and facing the world out there. But there's a little bit of like recklessness in how, I don't know, how quickly she's going for it.
I think Denise was a very good character. I've said it before.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
I think Denise is a good character because I think that she is somebody that has, there's a realism to her that I appreciate. There is something about her that I think is compelling where it's, I'm not a hardened badass. There's a lot of development opportunity for Denise. There was.
Yeah.
For her to overcome fear. You know, that's something that now that the group has been out here for a long time, we don't really see them struggling with being afraid or overcoming mental things in their head for like fear or competency or trying to do well. And when before she gets thwanged in the head with that crossbow bolt, one of the things she's saying is when she says, you know, it's easy for you guys to do this. Yeah. It's not easy for me to do this. And that is a real fascinating thing to me because it's very true, right?
Very, yeah.
If let's take what's a fear-inducing activity that people do today? Let's discuss
bungee jumping.
Yeah, okay. Jumping out of an airplane.
There you go.
There are some people. Now, everyone is, I don't know. I've never done it. Jumping out of an airplane, you get up there, there's going to be some fucking fear. You do it enough, it's going to not be quite the same. So for somebody that's used to jumping out of an airplane, to jump out of an airplane while somebody really, really struggles with getting up there and doing it and finally does it, it's not a strength because you are used to jumping out of an airplane for you to do it. You're not a fearless badass. That's not what that is. Courage is your ability to overcome fear, right? When faced with it. When you don't feel fear, there's no real courage there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, either you're just, you know, it's old hat for you and you're not scared of it because you're used to it, or you're a fucking psychopath that doesn't feel fear.
If you have really bad white coat syndrome, if you really are terrified of doctors and you go to the doctor, that's fucking courageous. Whereas the fucking person who doesn't have that at all, they're just like, whatever. I love doctors. I trust them all the time.
Take all the blood out of me.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. It's nothing. They could be, you know, their BP is fucking 110 over 70. It doesn't even occur to them. They don't think about it. They don't have that fear, right? No. It doesn't mean that person's a coward. It just means that they're not really.
There's no bravery.
There's no bravery being done here. This is just simply business as usual for you. Whereas somebody else, it takes a lot of courage. So I really appreciated her coming at them from that angle. I thought that was cool. I liked that she did that. I liked that she said, hey, we might as well, you know, this is hard for me. This is easy for you guys. Don't you get that? I need to do this. I need to prove it to me. I need to prove to myself that I can be okay out here. That's what she was getting to.
Yeah, yeah.
But
for being so tragically interrupted.
Yeah, but the timing of it's so bizarre. So we're kind of at a crossroads here in this podcast. We can continue to just talk about Denise and not bury the lead and then wrap with Eugene and Abraham because there's not much that happens, to be
honest.
There's
not a ton.
We're not going to go through like they come to a downed fucking tree. They go the other way. They take the train tracks. We got the main things we need to talk about tonight is Denise's death, what the Denise character meant, what that's like, and then we have to talk about Eugene and Abraham's kind of odd confrontation. And then, of course, the shootout. Yeah. And then the end of the episode.
I say, let's bury the lead and go to everything we want to talk about with Eugene and Abraham.
And come back to Denise?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's end strong.
All right. Well, end with Denise and then the shootout. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's getting confusing. Yeah, exactly. Go back to the
so Denise final dies and then we do the shootout. We just go through it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get Eugene and Abraham out of the way. That's fine. I'm down with that.
Let's do it.
So Eugene tells Abraham the key to one's survival is allowing oneself to be shaped by the assigned environment. He's talking about tabletops, RPGs. He's trying to associate, you know, his gaming days with that, translating into some real life skill. So
yeah.
He, not only that, but he's starting to want to prove his usefulness as well. This is something that, this is the theme of the episode, right? Denise and Eugene, two kind of thought of as having particularly single uses. Denise, you're a doctor. Eugene, yeah. You're the smart guy, right? These are your caricatures.
They've each moved from a place of being totally useless, you know, or not totally useless, but just nothing, you can't rely on them for anything, to now they are competent and reliable, but like you said, for one single aspect. You know, Eugene is a smart guy. He can tell you about what kind of weird wheat you should grow and maybe where you can get it. But, you know, his ideas and his strengths are in an abstraction. He's not out there physically able to do that himself. And Denise, yeah, she stepped up and able to figure out to be a doctor, but that's it. Outside of her, you know, infirmary, what else can she do? And I think they're each seeing the world as a place now where it's like, okay, we have to, you've got to diversify your skill set. You've got to be able to, you know, nobody's asking them to step up and be the next fucking Daryl and Sasha's and be badass warriors, but that they can step up and at least handle themselves, to be able to defend themselves.
Right. And this is very interesting to me. I'm telling you, my interest for the Ricks and the Daryls and the Abrahams is not as high as it once was. Because they're simply just, we run around, we make pissy faces at people, we kill bad guys. Like, that's all they fucking are doing right now. People die, it doesn't affect them because we fast forward. Great, we killed Jesse and her stupid kids and everyone died. Your son got shot in the face. But there's no consequence of that because we fast forward. It doesn't fucking matter. Now, Rick's been in the show for 6 seasons, so he's had a lot of development. I get it. I'm just saying, right now, the storytelling is more interested. It seems to be more interested in these other peripherals. And I was interested in that. I was like, great, Eugene, here's a guy that we can develop. We can see how he reacts to things. But the fucking Walking Dead fans are always going to demand the Ricks and the Carols. Where's Daryl? Where's Carol? Where's Rick? Right? And I'm one of them. I get it.
Same.
If they're not showing up for a while, we're going to want to know what the fuck's going on. But it's cool to develop these other characters and their other skills, because the main character's skills are almost like, well, what do we do? Like,
they're all leveled up. You've already leveled up all these heroes.
Yes. As fucked up as that sounds, you're absolutely fucking right. They're like, all right, we're fucking max level. Like, do we need to go on a raid today? Like, what do you want me to do? I have fucking purple drops. Like, what do you want from me? Do you want me to go kill a beast? I'll go kill a beast. Yeah. No, there's these fucking other people. And, you know, when you're talking about Denise, like, they have other skills. It'd be cool to see those other skills. You know, yeah. Eugene is smart. He's awkward. It'd be cool to see him kind of overcome that a little bit as he gets confident. And that's what I like about him and Eugene. And when we get back to Denise, you know, she wasn't a surgeon. She was a fucking psychologist, and she bounced because she had panic attacks. So her character, since being introduced into the show, has been somebody that has been overcoming fear the whole time, and it's been compelling to watch, because when people overcome fear, they inevitably grow, and when people grow, we are attracted to that.
Yes, and right? And also, I mean, that puts our other main characters, like you're saying, Daryl and Rick and Michonne, and all these highly competent, you know, badasses, it puts them in a position in an interesting dynamic with these people, because they are who people like Eugene and Denise are measuring themselves against. They're seeing these people, and they do admire them, and they do, you know, they respect them. And I think that's the most interesting aspect of our mainstay, you know, badass, untouchable characters, is that how are they seen by these other characters? How are they inspiring them? How are they scaring them off? Like, it's those interpersonal dynamics that, you know, that is the most interesting part.
Yes, it's cool to see somebody like Denise tell Rosita that you're alone, you're stronger than you think you are, and that means I know I can be strong too, because Rosita is strong, right? And maybe perhaps stronger than she realizes. I'm not sure what Denise was getting at there. I think Rosita's been very confident and very strong. She's teaching people how to fight. And that's somebody that Denise looked up to, and it's cool, like you said, to see how that dynamic plays into the story and into the development. Excuse me, I'll have a stroke. Into the development of Denise, who ended up taking a crossbow bolt to the head. Anyways, doesn't matter.
God,
thwap!
Fuck! It hurts.
Thwang.
Piercing my soul every time.
Thwap. Thwang. So that's. that's something I've been thinking a lot about. Like, I like these other characters. Like, I like our main characters. Of course, I love them. They're part of the main group. They've been around forever. But, like, developmentally stagnant. And I understand, ladies. So stop right now. Ladies, stop right now. In some men, you know who you are. Daryl is awesome. He's the strong, silent type. He doesn't say much. He's got greasy arms. He does what he has to do. But he doesn't really do anything anymore, right? And that's because that's not Daryl's fault. Daryl could be more, could have a lot more going on. The Daryl and Merle dynamic was fascinating.
Oh yeah.
That's a fascinating character development for Daryl. And that's and because I don't want to just pick on Daryl, it's the same for Rick, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, we saw Rick and in his woman, all the stuff, but the struggles I see from Eugene and Abraham, I just think are more compelling to me because they have higher mountains to climb. Like Denise says in her speech before she gets thwapped, is that it's easy for you guys, man. This is not easy for us. So fuck off.
Yeah,
right?
We're trying.
We are trying here. That's why we're out here. And So I don't know. That's a weird choice when you pop off those characters like that. So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. On the one hand, but I'm forced to. On the one hand, I wanted an unceremonious departed elevator scene death. And I got that. I finally got it. No lead up, just thwap, down you go, done. Great. That's the post-apocalyptic world. That's, you made your fucking bed, you lie in it, and every other stupid, you know, saying you can come up with.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, you had a character really on the verge of development. And I know what the retort is. The retort is, well, it's post-apocalyptic world. It's realistic. Sometimes people get killed.
Why not Rosita?
Right. Well, character arcs are meta-thinking, right? I'm meta-thinking by saying, why would you kill somebody right before their arc? Or is their arcing? Yeah. Or is their arc only going to be, 30 fucking seconds as she stands up to these people and comes into her own? Is that her arc? I mean, it's a real quick one.
Pretty quick.
It's like a Superman drop. Boom. So yeah, I don't know. It was... That's kind of what I was thinking, you know, when they offed her, I was like, wow, there seemed to be a lot of story, like a lot of development possibilities with somebody like Denise and her relationship with Tara. And now there could be, and I'm hoping so, a lot of development opportunities for Eugene, and him standing up to Abraham is a big deal. What's your take on that?
This was interesting. Yeah. And it's funny that this scene, you know, right before they start to have this argument and this bickering, you know, really that comes down onto the zombie, like Abraham is doing a pretty good job of lifting him up and giving him, you know, praise where praise is due and being like, this is fucking outstanding, outside of the box thinking, long-term thinking that we're going to make bullets. This is good. This is actually strategizing for the future. And he's giving them that praise. And then it all comes down to, I think that is, you know, like you're saying, that this is the growth spot for people like Eugene and Denise, but they're like sensitive about it. The same way that like the fucking 12th grader on his, you know, peewee baseball team who has never hit a ball yet is like sensitive about hitting the ball. Like taking out a walker is this big, overwhelming deal for them. And he, you know, he's hardly done it. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to think back, I think, you know, Eugene has had his share of walker kills at this point. It's not totally, you know, out there. I think it's the important part of this scene for him was that we are both right here. There's one walker. Either of us could take it out. I want to be the one that doesn't have to let you step in for me. That right. I'm not, you know, a child to be protected.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I get the impetus for wanting that. But it is one of those awkward points where I don't really think either of them are wrong because he's like, I had control of the situation. And it's like, you kind of didn't. Like, I would actually argue that Denise had better control over her situation because she got on top of her walker. Like, she was wrestling it, got on top of it, was like sitting on its chest. Yeah, she kind of had more control. His was still writhing around up against the wall as he's like trying to reach a pipe, and it was actually still pretty fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, yeah, maybe Abraham, if Abraham had the good sense, which he's the kind of person who doesn't have this sort of interpersonal sense, to maybe just help him shove the thing down on the ground and then let, you know, Eugene get the kill blow. But yeah, no, then that just all falls apart from there of, yeah, no, I should have had this. Oh, fuck you. You didn't know what you were doing. You were a dumbass about to die. And then we get the line of Eugene saying, I've outgrown you. I don't need your protection at all.
Yeah. So clearly Eugene still has some growth opportunity in his approach with people. I mean, that's a fucked up thing to say to somebody.
It is. And he's not, you know, it's one of those things where to throw Eugene a bone, I think he could hold his own in general against most Walker situations, or at least understand when he needs to just get the hell out of there. But as far as being okay with defense against other people, nah, you're not ready for like combat situations or anything. Like it's a bit of a, you know, foolproof, you know, a foolhardy like adolescent thing to say, to be like, I don't need you at all. It's like, nah, you still need him. You don't need him as much.
Right. It's just bad. They're just bad communicators, the two of them.
They are. That's the thing that I kept thinking so much. This is a clash of a dad and a son who can't communicate very well, right, either of them.
I really like, my take on this whole thing is that Eugene, outside the box thinking as Abraham praises him for, Eugene starts to realize, listen, bullets are going to become a problem. We don't have as many as we think we do. Hilltop's basically out and we're real low. We are going to need bullets, and we're going to manufacture bullets in this here little metalworking place. We're going to get some spent shell casings, and we're going to make fucking bullets. And those bullets might become currency, I guess he's saying. He alludes to, you know, bullets might become currency in this world on down the line.
Yeah, or just in how precious they are. I mean, it's probably not too unrealistic to think that just about, not all, but a high percentage of bullets in the area have been scavenged and taken,
right?
And that this stuff is going to become extremely precious.
Right. I mean, if you stay in the same area for too long and nobody is manufacturing bullets, I mean, if nobody's down there plunking out shotgun rounds, if you're not making them, then your supply is limited. There's nobody manufacturing bullets. You know, you're not going to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy fucking bullets.
The Remington factory is not an operation.
No, they're fucking doing other things. So, yes, that makes sense to me. You need bullets, especially to fight people. I'm pretty convinced that you could armor up and get melee weapons good to go and handle most Walker threats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same. We have talked about that ad infinitum. So many, just some fucking spears and some biker armor, basically.
Yes. Lock them shields together.
There you go. Spartan it up.
But I know, but bullets, you need bullets if you're going to defend your shit from other people, as we've seen and time and time again. And him saying that bullets could become currency, that's true. If the world gets bigger, as Jesus has promised, your world just got a whole lot bigger, right?
Uh-huh.
If that happens, then you have currency. If you run into groups who are like, fuck, we need bullets, man. We're like low, and you have some real estate locked down where you're pumping them out and you have a manufacturing, and suddenly you have currency. You can trade it for food, for water. If food's going to be a problem and you have bullets and people need bullets, you give them bullets, they give you food. It's a fucking...
It's Mad Max Fury Road Bullet Town. That's what they're setting up for themselves. They're going to be the bullet boys.
Right.
And I mean, and it does make sense. Long-term thinking of like the Hilltop looks to be, you know, in the position they have, maybe they really can. They just have more square, you know, ground footage to produce food or this or that. Everybody's got to kind of start dialing into what resources can I make and provide. And that's why I like that Abraham really does effusively praise him of like, this is fucking a good idea. This is nice.
Yes, absolutely, man. And that's Eugene being smart, trying to be useful, not just existing, wanting to help out. You know, Eugene's arc is funny because he starts as this guy who just needs protection, so he says a bunch of bullshit. Exactly. Abraham believes him. Abraham punches his fucking lights out, and then it's like, okay, what's Eugene do now? He's a giant piece of shit. He doesn't know how to swing a goddamn machete, and then he starts to grow a little. He starts to grow a little more. And now he's like, I have a fucking idea. Wow, imagine that. We're going to give one of these, you know, secondary characters an idea so he can do shit. That's cool.
Like I remember a couple episodes back, I was actually annoyed at how dismissive Daryl and Rick were when he was telling him about sorghum and like how good of a crop it is and where they could probably get it. They're just kind of like, okay, whatever. I was like, that's a good point. Pay attention to that.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Eugene frequently has good points, good ideas. And I like this whole dynamic where he's like, you know, pump your brakes, Red. I got this. I love the makeshift helmet that this guy has because of like the molten got poured on his head.
Yeah, that's... and Khaleesi tried to do him in.
Nice.
And, I've watched just enough Game of Thrones to make that reference.
Yeah. Ping, ping. Can't break through the armor. And then Abraham steps in. Eugene gets pissed off here, but I'm kind of like, you know what? It was getting a little dicey. You can be bit in a second. And if you're getting cute and you're grappling and you're fucking getting into high tie-ups with the zombies and they're chomping around your face and neck, somebody's going to step in and you can't take that shit personally, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, it escalates from here.
We've talked about that. Yeah. Yeah. The way the sheer amount people put their hands all over fucking zombies blows my mind. I'd be trying to keep them at blade's length as much as I possibly could. And God, to his credit, he did give a good hack, but the thing just had a fucking helmet, basically.
Right. Not going to kill him with that thing over his head. So, yeah, he takes it real personally, and he basically tells Abraham, you don't think I can kill walkers, and that's the whole like line you were talking about. Your services no longer require you, outlived your usefulness to me. And that's a dangerous game to play with a guy like Abraham, because one thing we know that Abraham requires is a fucking mission. Right?
Yeah.
You're kind of dismissing him out of hand and just saying, I don't need your help. Go fuck yourself. You're essentially saying, I don't need you on this mission. And we know that Abraham without a mission is a lost man. He gets a little fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Going out on runs, this kind of shit. This is awesome. This is something that I think is cool about this scene, is that's an underlying hurt thing that Eugene says to Abraham, and that's just Eugene being incapable of, he still struggles like with social niceties. By telling somebody you've outlived your usefulness to me, I mean, that's kind of fucked up, dude. A guy who saved your life countless times, you don't say that.
Oh, man. Yeah. And also not just in those like pragmatic issues of like how much they've done for you or saved you, but just like you're wiping away the relationship too of like you are not even useful to me as a companion. Like I don't want any – it's basically saying I want nothing to do with you, which is pretty fucking harsh and mean.
It's wild. So Abraham stomps off. He's like, find your own way home, bitch. I'm out of here.
Yeah, asshole.
And he leaves. Now – it's at this point, since we're done with that kind of part of the storyline, do you have anything else you want to say about Eugene and Abraham at this point?
At this point, no, other than I like how much I love when it comes back and we realize Abraham has been trailing Eugene because he just can't let his little mullet baby go on his own.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so good. But yeah, no, that's all I got.
So let's talk about this whole endeavor.
For the runs?
The runs. Let's talk about this whole thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Hilltop is the vassal to the saviors, right?
Basically, at this point.
Basically. Yeah. 50% of your shit, bitch, or we'll break someone else's head in.
Well, you know, I wonder if that agreement has at least been interrupted temporarily because of the attack, because of the things that have gone down, and because they gave so much food to Rick and company. I wonder if they are even in, you know, I would imagine that the saviors might have paused that exchange.
Right. All right. So if they pause it or they don't, it's not really my point. My point is that the saviors are out there. They had a Hilltop under their thumb once. You went to their compound. You started a war with them. You went into their compound. You killed a bunch of their people. Your people got grabbed, Carol and Maggie, dragged to this slaughterhouse of sorts, and they ended up escaping from those people by killing them and escaping. The group meets back up and goes home.
There you go.
They go about their lives.
Everything's hunky-dory, yeah.
Honestly, this is my point. This is where we're going to start talking sloppy. You know me and sloppy. Mm. I love it sloppy, baby.
Ooh, ooh.
Mm. But not this, I don't love sloppy. This, I don't like sloppy.
I want this
needs to be high and tight and very by the book. And very put my glasses on and stick my pencils in my pocket and tuck my shirt way in and pull my pants up a little too high.
All these renegade officers. I like a good dragnet style, good buzz top haircut.
That's right. I don't know, man. And I think that this was sloppy.
Yeah. The way that Denise and Daryl and Rosita actually leave, the way they're armed, especially Daryl. I know it's really Daryl to have a shotgun that's like, that's perfect. That's Daryl. That's our boy cracking a beer and busting off fucking 12 gauge. Like, I know, but I feel like at this point, like what you were saying, like you have made not, and there's not, it's not the termites. It's not some other people with some guns out there just kind of mad at you. It is a highly organized, vigilant, mean group of fucking armed to the teeth bastards out there who are out to get you now that you've started a war with. You should be going, they should not be leaving their walls without armed and ready for a conflict with people. Like, they're still armed in the sense of like, well, this is what we need to handle some walkers and maybe a straggler or two person that we run into. You need to be like, they got to be prepped and ready to get into fucking armed skirmishes at any point at this, right. At this point now.
Right.
Which it doesn't still feel like they're ready for yet.
Yeah, it's there needs to be safeguards in place. And I guess I will just keep asking for this until the show goes off air. Listen, your community, you've got somebody up on the tower, you got people walking around, you've got armed sentries. Alexandria is well defended at the wall. From the wall to where people sleep is about 40 feet.
Yeah.
So
it's not far.
You're really limiting yourself when you simply have people that stand on walls. Now, maybe Eugene and Abraham going out was some kind of, I don't know, weird. No, it was a run, right? It was Eugene's plan to go out. They weren't just doing a patrol.
Yeah, and he was saying, you know, when they get into that, old factory, Abraham's like, are you going to spill the beans on what this place is? Like, why here?
So okay.
He hadn't even told him. He's just like, I'm going to show you this place, basically.
Right. So we... We want to make sure that we have lookout towers. Like, you have a base that you protect. You need some kind of, what I'd never see in the show, I just want one scene where Rick lays a map on the table, a road map, and he says, all right, here we are. All right, here's where they can approach from. And we saw it briefly when they were talking about that giant herd of walkers. We got road A, we got fucking road B, right? Let's figure out this area. Let's map this area out. And maybe I'm supposed to believe this happens off camera.
Yeah.
But this would just get me all boned up if they would do this. If they'd say, okay, here's a road here, here's a road here. This road over here, we're going to block with cars. We don't need that road. We're going to make it impassable just in case people show up with cars or motorcycles or whatever the fuck.
There you go. Yeah.
We're going to do that here. This is going to be our main, fucking throughway. This road right here. We're going to use this road. Up ahead here, we got a couple of fucking houses. We're going to have guards in those houses, and we're going to put everybody on a rotation. And you're going to be out there, and you're going to fucking... So you can be first responders. You can be somebody who's out in that house, and give you a nice fucking fully automatic weapon just in case shit gets weird, and we'll have radio communication back to Alexandria. So you're getting some fucking heads up, right?
Seriously, yeah.
So you know when people are going to close in on this place... The wolves came right over the wall. They just walked up and climbed the fucking walls. Now, I understand that people were distracted. A lot of the main characters were out. I get it. But I feel like eventually they're going to pay dearly when it comes to the only thing we know is within eyesight of the fucking walls of Alexandria. You need to know people's approaches. You need to have fucking people set up. And I know it sucks, but hey,
they don't have that church tower anymore either. You know, they used to have that. They used to have a sniper up there, which I always thought that was a good call, but that's gone and they haven't really replaced it.
They need to do other things. They just need to set up some kind of patrol. They need a patrol mechanism. Not like we're going to go out on runs, but all right, we're going to go do our fucking patrol. We're going to go out. We're going to go around here. We're going to come back and boom, that's it. Something. They need to figure something out because... If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you got how many do you have on the fucking wall?
It looks like at any given time they have what, 3 or 4 people, maybe 5 spread out.
Right. And I know
it's not a ton.
And I know the Walking Dead is deliberately obfuscating this. What do you think about that word?
Ooh, fancy. I'm gonna have to flip you a dime for that one.
By not showing us like the exact terrain, but I kind of feel like right over some of these walls is woods. We saw it with Enid, right? That's a fucking problem. That's a huge fucking problem.
Seriously.
Chop all those trees down, dude. Chop every one of them down. Bring the wood in. Make some fucking spears, right? Let's get cracking, bitch. What are these guys doing?
I could see wanting to keep some woods around in order to, you know, hide yourself a little bit. You wouldn't want to just open yourself in a clearing all the way to the nearest road. But I
Not
could see
road.
Wanting to push the tree line like way back.
Please, yes.
Yeah. You've got a big wide space they gotta cross to get to you.
Absolutely.
So you can fucking see them. Because the people fucking putting their black face paint on and creeping through the trees
You're
at
dead.
Night, that is it.
That's it. You're fucking dead.
Yeah. Ooh, that's bad fucking news.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, they could even go out there. They got a fucking backhoe, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do. Didn't somebody fall?
Yeah,
they have a fucking backhoe.
Right,
get out there, fucking drag that goddamn thing, make a couple of ditches for people, right?
There you go.
Make
a couple murder holes.
Jesus Christ. Marie's like, you're going to piss off the tree huggers. Yeah, well, I'm going to keep them alive, them silly fucks.
Uh-huh. They're not going to be fed to the zombie horde.
And then when they're grateful, they'll hug my tree.
Negan, I can't again. Hug it.
Hug it. Don't look
no
at me.
More.
Don't look at me in the eyes when you hug it, though.
So chafed.
Get in the bathroom and wash yourself. So yeah, I don't know, man. I want them. Is this the show just not wanting to address this? Just give me a fucking 10 minutes of an episode where Rick's like, we're going to fucking DEF CON 4.
See, and that's why I loved those early episodes of them preparing for the zombie horde corralling.
Yes.
Because that was so cool seeing them, like, they're fucking pulling together, executing a plan, getting efficient. And I think it's a little bit of the general sloppiness in invading and people just, you know, I think this happens sometimes. I think it's a mistake to think that terrible circumstances and tragedies and these shocking events just totally hone people into a steel sword. I think sometimes, you know, it puts you on edge, but as soon as you have those moments of quiet again, you totally just, like, relent back into, like, well, I don't want to do anything. I just want to fucking sit down and catch my breath. I don't want to think about defense anymore. I think that can actually be the other side of that they've been pounded by scary circumstances, especially the native Alexandrians themselves, and they're not ready for this shit. And I think these moments of normalcy, as much as they might really need them, and in a way they really deserve them, it's dangerous for them because they're looping back into, okay, well, things are okay again. I can just sit down. Where it's like, no, motherfucker, got to get ready. It could still come down on rain hell any day.
Right. Yeah, man. I don't know. It makes me annoyed.
Maria, lots of boot knocking going on in the chat room. Yeah, that's a good point. They're all getting laid. They're all on R&R right now. They're just like, ah, fuck it. Let's hit the bordellos.
Yeah, and you know, when whoever sleeps with fucking Rosita 3 minutes later, then they can go fucking do work.
There you go. Yeah.
They're out of practice. How long are they going to last, honestly?
Oof.
So I don't know, man. I want them to.
This is refreshing. We haven't had a rant against tactics in a while.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's
time.
Fucking pounding on the desk rant.
It's time.
Good.
It's time. And I haven't pounded on the desk once. Are you proud of me?
I am.
Thank you.
And you used obfuscate.
I used obfuscate. I'm being a gentleman.
Again, gonna PayPal you a whole dime for that one.
My phone just told me I got a dime from Matthew Anderson. Nice.
Shiny dime.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just come on. You're at war. You started, you know, you didn't kill all his guys. And then and then you're going to send Denise, Rosita, and fucking Daryl out on a run. Fucking thing. Do we talk about shit? Is there plans? What the fuck is going on, Rick? Where are you? You're an absentee leader. What are you doing? Are you too busy banging Michonne?
I was about to say, I think he's just too locked into that. I just can't get up. I got to stay on it.
Yeah, I know, man. It's just like, come on. Like, we're going to go out on a run, Rick. I kind of feel like there should be discussions about, hey, we're all going to go out. And Rick would be like, you're going to take our only doctor out? I don't think it's a good idea.
That was my main shit. Main shit about Rosita, and as much as we talked, Denise, but as much as we talked about as far as human beings and character development, like having to be to confront those fears and open up and grow and change and go face those things they haven't faced yet, I do think it's different with Denise of like, you are it as far as medical care for this is it. We the next most qualified person underneath you knows how to like do a tourniquet, and that's that. Like, you are all we've got.
Yes.
Gotta be more careful. Yes. Gotta be more careful with that person.
Gotta just be more careful in general. You gotta talk shit out. You gotta have plans. It's not like you're sitting out there and Denise is like, let's go hit up an apothecary. And Daryl's like, all right, let's just fucking go. Let's rock and roll. Mm-hmm. There's no discussion. I mean, I'm not saying Daryl needs to clear shit with Rick.
Yeah.
But
it's a matter of, you know, we've talked about this before, of like problems with Rick's leadership not being that he's making necessarily bad decisions, but he's not communicating the right things well. He's not selling it the right way. And I think it's the same kind of thing here. Like, if Daryl had just gone, look, it's not that I think you're incompetent or shitty or I don't trust you. You're our only doctor. We can't risk this. You are only fucking doctor. If we get another doctor and we can rotate people eventually, okay, fine. You can start coming on some runs, but it's too risky. Like, that's what you say.
Yeah.
That's why you got to take communications classes, people.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Maria just brought up Hilltop. You know, I was thinking the same thing. Do we not have any more relationship with Hilltop? What's the status with their communication lines with Hilltop? Where the fuck's Tara?
Seriously, I feel like in the future we're going to see that grow more, but I guess we're supposed to take it as like they're in a really tenuous state right now. Like, they're still waiting to see how the Savior situation's panning out before doing too much more with him, because it seems like they had that one meeting. Okay, we're going to kill the Saviors for you. Bye. And like, that's the last communication between them. That's what it feels like anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they need to. I think this thing with Hilltop in Alexandria, I think we need some kind of, I don't know. They need to figure out how to help each other, because it's not going to work. If Negan's as dangerous as we think, and I don't know, maybe, do you think Rick's group maybe thinks like Negan's fucked? He's his tail's between his legs at this point?
I kind of think that they do naively believe that. Like, I could see Rick being like, maybe we didn't get him all, but we've done enough damage to him right now that they're licking their wounds. You know, we have time.
Right. I mean, Rick blowing away that guy, Primo, was that his name?
Yeah, Primo.
Rick blowing away Primo may have been a bad, bad call, because he could have maybe got some valuable intelligence, even if it was just on the size of what Negan has.
There you go. Yeah.
Maybe they just think, oh, fuck it. Especially because he's like, we're all Negan. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just think Negan's whatever. You know, maybe they can talk to Jesus. Maybe they can talk to Hilltop and be like, how many of these guys have you seen? I know they did that already. He's like, oh, we've seen groups as big as 20. So in their defense, maybe Rick's thinking, all right, we blew up all these guys on motorcycles. How many guys was that? 8, 9, 10. We killed 10, 12, maybe on the raid. Yeah. That's 20 something.
Oh, I mean, on the raid? Oh, no, I think they killed, God,
more than
30.
Wow, okay, wow, holy shit. So
they killed a lot of guys.
So they killed a lot of guys. So maybe they're thinking he ain't got any guys left. But then it's almost like, oh, but they have this other place, and they're communicating with this other group, and how the fuck back, how far back do we know this goes, you know?
And I guess, we haven't done that yet, a full kill count of the Saviors, and it's kind of impossible to actually do, but what? I mean, I guess Carol and Maggie killed four of them. Four of them died, the people who captured them. And then at least five or six more guys from the recon team, they cooked. Shit. It looks like I would guess that they've probably killed somewhere in the range of 50 of Negan's guys.
Yeah.
40, 50.
My guess is that next week we're going to see some of the things we're calling for, because Daryl and them get away. They're going to be like, holy shit, there's more of Negan's guys. There's still more out there. Right? Mm-hmm.
Big groups of them, too. That wasn't a small fucking little... That wasn't three guys, you know? No. That was a sizable group.
And they're all well-armed, so...
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I just... It would be cool to see... Maybe next week, Rick will be like, all right, man, let's get cracking here. Maybe he'll start to understand the situation they're in and prepare accordingly. But I'm telling you, man, if you don't have some kind of patrolling out beyond the wall and check-ins and communications and some kind of system in place and in a chain of command and all of that shit. And I'm going to keep talking about this whole fucking podcast. And we're going to talk about it when we get to Denise and Daryl and Rosita. But you're going to pay for it. People are going to come under the cover night. They're going to sneak up to your fucking walls. And then what are you going to do? If there's enough of them.
Yeah.
If there's enough of them, your walls aren't going to do shit, because people are smart. They know how to get over walls, right?
Oh, yeah. No, a couple of fucking orc ladders in the fucking smack them up against the wall. Your shit's done. Yeah.
Wield the siege towers closer.
That's it.
Oh, shit.
That's going to happen. All right. Let's talk about this Denise shit.
Let's do it. We got to get there. We got to get into it, even though we've probably spent 30% of our time already talking about it, but still.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's something else I want to quickly rant about. I ranted about defense, of shoring up your castle defense for the invading horde of barbarians.
How will we beat back the Huns without a proper moat?
Well, they need a very clear chain of command that's not like... Here's the problem.
It does seem like very diffuse leadership. All right, bye.
I'm not saying they need to be in a military fucking doctrine.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to be in a military doctrine. inside the walls. But I'm saying outside the walls, they need a very clear chain of command. They need a very clear way that they go about conducting themselves when they're out beyond the wall. They all need to fucking have firearms. They all need to have them in their hands. They need to have the fucking round in the chamber, and they need to be ready to rock and roll. No dicking around. And they need one person who fucking runs the run. And the other people need to comply with that person who runs the run. And that's it. The problem with these guys is that when they go out on runs, it's like fucking Stand By Me, right? They're all like, lollipop, lollipop, ola. And they're fucking dicking around on the railroad tracks like a bunch of kids.
You guys got everything good? You want to see a dead body, kid? Stand By Me.
Tell us another story, Gordy LaChance. No, you're not out there fucking lallygagging, walking through the fields.
Yeah. Yeah. It's life or fucking death.
Right. Pretend that you are walking around a fucking war zone.
Yeah. With snipers potentially out there.
Yeah,
fucking
dude.
People laying in traps, fucking booby fucking mines.
And no bullshit. Like, I really appreciate Denise's rant and what she says, but I kind of want to be like, not now. Save it for later.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we get back to base, you can tell me what kind of an asshole I am. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we don't go on runs, and here's my problem with the whole thing. We don't go on runs for your personal growth, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my problem. Kind of my problem right there is that I want there to be a situation where we have a clear cut thing, right?
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think we saw a great example when Maggie and Carol got lifted by the Saviors.
Yes.
And they have protocols. Like, that's one thing. I mean, a big part of, okay, if shit totally hits the fan for you and your group out there, are you just trying to beeline home and outrun the enemy and not lead them straight back? Like, what are you going to do? What's the plan? We've seen no talk of that. And even in this situation, when fucking, you know, Denise gets killed, Eugene's injured, they just pick him up and run back home. You know, that's basically what happens. There's no, you know, got to respect the Saviors for having safe houses and fucking radio codes. And all right, this happens.
Right.
So the thing that I think would relieve them so much is just having that automatic protocol of, if this happens, then this automatically happens.
Yeah, in other words, there's never a contingency.
Yeah, there's no, they've got to have something to remove that element of stressful thinking. And I'm like, what do we do now? It's like, okay, we just got attacked. That means we fall back to here. That is what we do. That is just the thing that happens when this shit happens. And they have nothing for that. That's what I actually, why we talked so much about the competency of, you know, Alicia Witt's character last week. Of like, fuck, they've got their shit together. Like,
they
know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their problem was they should have been talking to their prisoners.
There you go.
Right, that's the problem they had.
They must be dehumanized animals.
Now, what have we said before on this podcast? We just said it last time.
Uh-oh.
Everybody,
I always fail these fucking pop quizzes.
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right?
Oh,
everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And I get that.
There you go.
Bad shit's going to happen. Things are going to get ugly. It doesn't matter how fucking much you prepare, how many plans you have. When shit gets ugly, shit's going to get ugly no matter what. People are going to get hurt. People are going to die. You're going to lose people. Accept that. However, you have to also do everything in your power to make sure you run a nice oiled machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's like, they go out there, they're walking these train tracks. Rosie's like, I'm going this way. And she's like, Dal's like, I'm going this way. I don't care which way you go. And then he walks around like he's got to take a shit, right?
I'm going in the woods.
Yeah. I'm going this way. You're going this way. Unacceptable. Who's the fucking commander of this run? Who has jurisdiction over this run right now?
Yes.
And listen, you have to agree to it. You have to agree before you leave.
And
right, the three of us are going. Who's got point on this? That's all you got to say. You don't need to give people fucking rank insignias and make them swear and all this bullshit.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do is say, who's the point person? I am. Done.
Done. Yeah. And in that particular situation, too, the way that played out, like, for one, I think it's interesting. It makes sense for Daryl's character that he has a lot of Terminus PTSD about walking down tracks, doesn't trust that shit anymore. But the thing is, if you have somebody as like just stubborn and headstrong as Daryl and he's going to go that way, Rosita should have been the one to suck it up and be like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to, as much as this is annoying, I'm going to go with him because you need to stick together. Like, you suck it up and you do it. Like, you've got to all go the same way. That was so crazy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Like, they split up. If there's anybody in the woods, they're fucked.
Yeah.
If Rosita's
picked off and done
alone, and somebody is in hiding and they're like, oh, look at her. I want to take all of her shit, right? Although in the post-apocalyptic world, let's be real, somebody would be like, I think I want to take her back to my bedroom, right?
Fucking like the filthy savages we are.
Fucking bunch of chimps.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that gross. but I'm just saying that I'm just saying you can't fuck around like this out there. It happened with Daryl and Rick. They're like, we're gonna go out on a run with our pistols and fucking run around like it's goddamn Benny Hill time.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. I want it. I don't know. Maybe it's just more interesting if they're more disorganized and they don't, but they need something like this in place. They're not being vigilant enough, and they should be considering their circumstances.
Which it makes me really, really think that the Saviors as a group of people have existed together a lot longer than Rick and the Alexandrians, because that was such a, you know, just earlier in this season, there was still all of the problems, we're Alexandrians and you are Rick's people and we're trying to figure out how to even like just exist together and not hate each other. You know, that they only really just got past some of that stuff. Whereas I think that's kind of the big difference. Whereas the Saviors, they are way past any of this shit. They have a way of doing things. When they recruit new people, they probably don't, you know, I'm sure they don't have a fucking training seminar with a fucking benefits package laid out, but they have this is the way we do things. This is our protocol. This is what you're doing. It's not some big question of like, well, how do I act with you and who says what to who and what's going on? Like, no, I'm in charge. This person is your direct supervisor. This is how we do shit. And that has just never been established here. I think what they're trying to imply is that they haven't had the time yet to quite do that. The personal dynamics just aren't there yet. But they're getting their fucking wake-up call now. You got to really start buckling
down. It can be fast and loose, man. Fucking pirate ships are more organized than these guys.
Fucking
you know?
Hey, yeah.
they got to get their shit together. Because when you get out there and you're walking around and we're getting to where Denise is going to die here. They're walking on that train track, up on that train track, up on a hump where anyone from any of these tree lines can see any of them. Just fucking doing their goddamn Stand By Me stroll, right?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And then she's like, oh, I'm going to peel off the main group like a fucking loner. I'm gonna peel off, right? The military has a chain of command in the field for a fucking very specific reason, so this shit doesn't happen.
Yeah. So if you're going to wander away.
No, don't fucking wander anything. Stop with the wandering, right? And that's what happens here. She kind of wanders off. She's like, I see something in here. It could be useful. It's a cooler that's been in the fucking car for 100 years.
Yeah.
It could be useful. Daryl goes, fall in line. No, yeah. I got it. Fall fucking in line. We don't have time for this shit. Or we're going to do it as a unit.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. She opens the door and starts wrestling with the fucking thing. And I'm like, come on, Denise. And come on, Daryl. You guys should know better.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have, for one, they should have, as soon as they saw, you know, you look back and she's walking away, you go, okay, fuck it, what is she doing? Like, that's the same thing with, you know, the situation with Rosita. The sake of the unity of the unit in this situation is kind of above everything else. It's not like, well, we'll stand back and watch, what is she doing? It's like, no, you need to go over there. Like, stay together, stay the fucking together. You want to survive, you stay together. Like, that comes over all. Even if one of your people is an idiot, you follow after them and get them back.
Yes. Absolutely, man. Okay, so they don't. They're willy-nilly. They split up. They go through the woods. They fucking, you know, it's a bunch of leaders all doing their own thing.
And Denise is,
yeah, and nobody, there's no clear cut, like, who's going to run this fucking thing, you know, where we've been doing this for a long time, guys. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Now, they get out there, and she does her thing. She tells them to back off, which I appreciate, right?
And like I was saying earlier, she looked like she did legitimately have a little more control over this zombie. Like, she was on top of it. It wasn't thrashing against her, against a wall, like with Eugene.
Right. But this is...
still dangerous.
It's dangerous, and it's kind of selfish, man.
It is.
I know people don't want me to talk ill of the dead. I know people like Denise. I fucking love Denise.
I love her,
And I still do. And I've made bad choices before, and so has everyone else, and so has everyone listening. We've all fucking made a bad, selfish choice, and we've gone, fuck, that was bad. That was stupid what I did. I shouldn't have done that. right? Yeah. We all have. Some more dire than others, no doubt. And this is a case where you can't, it's not, going out on runs is not your emotional fucking grow up space. This is not your emotional proving ground. This is where she goes to that car, they see her struggle, they intervene immediately. Done deal. Same thing with Eugene and Abraham. That's why Abraham stepped in. He's like, well, I don't know. You could get bit at any second, you fucking chucklehead.
Yeah. One fucking bite and you're done. Life's over.
Right. And if you're telling me you don't care if your life's over, then you're not going on a run ever again because you're a danger to everyone that goes with you.
Exactly.
If you're going to be suicidal, it jeopardize everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, we're coming back to that whole kind of the same logic that motivates Maggie. We're in the situation with Maggie, I mostly agree. It's still risky, you know, to choose to become pregnant. Yeah, it's still a little crazy and risky, but I understand it. It's a little more profound of a choice.
Yes.
And it's the same logic here of like, what's the point of being alive? What's the point of even striving to survive or do anything if we can't try and do something for the people we love and we care about? And yeah, that's a very noble thought, and I really like that.
Yes.
But it's a can of soda.
Right.
And you can't hammer it in hard enough of Daryl saying you could have just fucking died. Like that, you could have died for your
give
crush.
It a minute, Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a minute. It's going to happen. Now, you know, in the chat, they're talking about they did score some nice drugs. I think Nando Stark said that.
Oh, yeah.
We need to mention that they were successful. They got their drugs.
Oh, for sure. That's the thing. No, the actual target of the run was a pretty solid success. I mean, they went out there, they cleared an entire, you know, pharmacy room of drugs.
Yeah, they got all the drugs they wanted. That's great.
They're saying to her when she's peeling off it even is that we got what we came for. We don't need to. It's not worth the trouble.
Yes, we're done. Mission accomplished. Let's go home. I want to fucking go home tonight. I don't want a crossbow bolt in my head.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want saviors fucking roasting the half of my face.
Right. And I also want to quickly mention that the woman who hid in the closet drowned her baby so it wouldn't give her away to the walkers. I'm assuming that's what happened, and that's the hush-hush she wrote in blood on the wall. Whatever, that's fine. I mean, that's creepy. That's dark enough to creep out, of course, Denise, who cries a little, and you know, but she gets up and she wipes her tears away, and she's going to fucking soldier on. I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the chat, they're saying not any soda. Of course, it's a soda Tara wanted. I get that. Mm-hmm. Still not worth a bolt to the brain, and it's still not worth disrupting the fucking organization of the run.
Yeah,
you know.
And I could see, and again, it's all fucking communication. Like, if she had just been like, "Look, guys, I'm gonna come clean with you. I just want to check this dumb cooler to see if there's a soda that's really important to Tara in here as a gift. You know what I'm talking about, Daryl? Can we just all three of us go over there, bust open this door, check it out real quick?
Yeah,
maybe they would go, okay, fine, let's do this.
Like, I really appreciate Denise's attitude here in general. But I think at this point you defer to when Rosita and Daryl are saying, no, let's keep going. We're done. Yeah. Let's move. Every second you're outside of the wall, your risk factor is so high.
Oh, yeah.
It's high for walkers. It's high for raiders. It's high for whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you could twist. You could fucking twist an ankle. Who the fuck knows, dude?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. That's what, you know, that's what I was saying. They get lulled into this kind of sense of safety after. And I think that's, it's common to think that you're hardened by those scary experiences. But I think that, like I was saying earlier, like it can lull you back. As soon as you have a refrain from those terrible experiences, you're ready to just like stay away from it and think everything's okay and calm down for a bit. And I think that lulls them into this falsehood of, it's all right. We're not constantly at the threat of death every waking second we're outside of this place. It's okay.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So
we're
what
here.
What the hell? We're here.
This is
what
it.
The hell was that, Daryl says. What the hell was that? You could have died, right?
You could have died right there. Could have died.
And then she's like, you could have died. You want to live, you take chances. That's what I did, right?
Yep.
Okay. Let's pause right here. Denise, I understand what you're saying here, honey, but you're risking other people's lives.
Yeah.
If you want to go out and play patty cakes with walkers, do what Father fucking G did and just go out and do it.
True.
Remember?
Go on your own and fucking
he went out on
some.
His own and he fucking said, I'm going to try to overcome my fear and not jeopardize the team I'm with at the time.
Yeah.
This is just a bad, it's just
bad timing.
It's bad timing. I appreciate her passion. I appreciate her point of view, but her timing is so bad it gets her killed.
Yeah.
Gets her killed. She gets herself killed.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
And that comes again, and that's still kind of a failure on the part of Daryl and Rosita and other people like, you know, them who know better. It's like,
right, that's my point. The whole fucking structure is a mess.
The whole thing. And like, we talked about that back when there was the Horde problem of like, you know, Rick made that shitty choice of, oh, the walkers are breaking through. All right, this is it. This is the time. Let the Alexandrians see if they can figure out how to take out some walkers. And it's like, no, Rick, this isn't the fucking time. Like, this, yeah, there's got to be a more controlled circumstance to ease people into this kind of fighting. Because that's...
How about you fucking do some sparring, bitch?
Yeah.
How about you and Rosita fucking put some gloves on and get after it a little bit?
Or fucking at least, you know, you tie some zombies up to poles and you have, you know, melon stabbing contests. I mean, you gotta ease your way into this shit.
You gotta ease your way into the shit. She's never been beyond the wall and now she wants to get into it with a walker, right? I mean, you got, these people need to be trained. This training like this outside the wall, on the job training as it were, it's not going to work.
Life or death on the job training. That's like, you know, to imply that like somebody in like a big steel worker factory, it's like, all right, it's your first day. We're going to train you. So we're going to put you in charge of the machine that dumps molten metal. It's like, whoa, that's not how you do it. I think you would spend a good amount of time observing the person who knows how to do it. You know,
right.
Like you can't just throw somebody into the heat of it.
Yeah. They're in the chat. They're saying she had been training. This was her test, so to speak.
Mm.
Sure, that's fine. I want a more controlled environment on the test, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And not willy-nilly, like, peeling off the group and being like, I got this. I don't know.
Yeah. Oof. It's rough. It's rough. And, I mean, I think, you know, if they were still living in a world where the saviors didn't exist, that was not something on their radar, and they're just, okay, we have to be vigilant against zombies and making sure we have our asses covered, and, you know, that's it. I can understand. Okay, Rosita. I mean, I keep fucking mixing them up. Denise, you can come on out. We'll kind of get you used to going outside of the wall, going on runs, having a vigilant mindset and staying aware. But in a world where fucking people are sneaking up on you in the woods and firing guns and bows and arrows at you, that's just a whole nother level. Like, that's so much more dangerous.
So much more dangerous.
Ugh, and we lost her. We lost our girl because of that shit.
This is a very, very visceral, nasty kill.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I gotta say, I appreciated the hell out of it.
Yeah, no, it was like I was saying. It's both, and I think this is a big reason why you know people can say, oh, there was so much potential in Denise's character. We cut her short because of this arc. Yeah, that's what makes that death powerful and tragic. That is the essence of tragedy. That there was a loss. There was a loss of a future and a potential, and there was so much more to be said and done from this person, and that's all ripped away. That's what makes this so fucking shocking. I mean, this is the first time in a while, like, I was, like, gasping at my TV, like, oh my
it
God, I fucking can't believe that just happened. And, I mean, the way they did it, even, if she was still kind of finishing her sentence as she's dying.
Ooh, baby.
Jesus Christ.
She was dead. I mean, that's neurons firing.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was just words kind of just tumbling out.
Ooh,
oh,
boy.
God, and, I mean, Daryl's... The reactions were perfect. I mean, just Rosita and Daryl, you know, stepping in to kind of catch her, just totally dumbfounded. I mean, it's terrifying. It is the most, it's easily one of the most shocking deaths of the entire series. I mean, it totally blew me away.
Very shocking. I liked it a lot. It was good shit. And no buildup.
No buildup.
No
boom.
Buildup. That's what I liked about it. That's awesome.
God, yeah. Oh, it hurt. Oh, poor Denise. Poor sweet Denise.
Yeah. She dies, man. She dead. Dead meat. She says, they go back and forth. Before she gets the arrow, you could have died. You want to live. You take chances. That's what I did. Rosie's like, are you stupid? And Denise is like, are you? And they kind of, you know, they're going to have a little argument. And then Denise tries to explain what this all meant to her. She asked Daryl to come because he's brave. She compares him all to his brother throughout the episode. She wanted Rosita to come because she's alone right now and stronger than she thinks. Denise says that she was afraid. It makes me sick that you guys aren't even trying. If you don't wake up and face your thwang, then she gets it.
Oof. Yeah. And of course, yeah, I mean, there's that's the other side of the coin we're talking about as far as like character development. Like those characters like Daryl and Rosita and Abraham, those people who are so highly competent are so competent and safe in their abilities. They don't really have to face their personal problems. They can just coast on their ability to survive. And that's kind of what she's pointing out. She's like, you guys are so strong and good and kind, competent people, but you're not facing up to yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's wacky. And then, so as far as Denise's death goes, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it.
A little bit.
What do we want to talk about with the death of her here? Do we want to talk about her arc? Do we think it was a waste? Do we think, I mean, you kind of said, well, this is what happens. Sometimes you get cut off midstream here.
And I think one of the most tragic things about it, when's the last time we saw Daryl ask a person about their upbringing? Like, he was saying, who was older, your brother? You know, a lot of talk about her brother in this episode, and a lot of talk about how that's why I think she kind of had an affinity for Daryl, that she, you know, he reminded her of her brother, and his brother sounded a lot like, you know, her brother to him, you know, and they kind of shared that. This is, you know, how many people is Daryl actually even close to? He's not even all that close to Rick when we think about it. Like, they have a very good, like, working
respect.
Combat. Yeah, they have a respect relationship that is nice, but they're not close. He's not even all that close to Carol anymore, which I hate to say because they got close
after that whole claimers thing. Remember?
Yeah,
kind of calling each other brothers. They had a little bromance going after the claimers incident.
That's true,
but it's kind of cooled since.
Yeah, sex isn't as good as it used to be anymore. But it's like that's one of the most tragic elements too. Is that she was maybe one of only one or two other people. I think Aaron is a decent friend of Daryl's, but. He's not close to that many people. We don't see Daryl open
Aaron
up.
Aaron who?
I know. God, how often is he in the show anymore? but yeah, so that is another, like, fuck, it makes me worry about Daryl, which is good. That's something I should be thinking about. It's like, fuck, how is he going to go in the long run? We've seen him kind of waver back and forth, and this is just kind of like, it seems like almost another nail in his coffin as far as worldview of, like, how he's going to feel about opening up to people or not condemning people to death. Like, I think he's going to start pulling the trigger pretty easily, kind of like Rick.
Right. Yeah, man. Whew, pretty wild. So now I guess we'll focus on more of Eugene's development than we will on Denise's. I mean, similar characters here, right?
Very, except I don't think Denise ever bit a dick. That's for sure.
She definitely didn't. At least I don't think she did.
Oh, boy. I guess we got to talk about the shootout.
Let's do it.
Fuck yeah.
So, hey, it's Dwight. Well, hell, he says, casually.
Now I'm Dark Man. Some woman. I'm the superhero Dark Man now. That's what you turned me into, fucking Daryl.
The Hound from Game of Thrones, yeah. I guess. Except way less cool and way less formidable.
Seriously, can't even fucking aim his crossbow right.
You got something to say to me? You want to clear the air? Step up on that high horse, Dwight says.
What an asshole. Oh, God.
He keeps saying that the crossbow kicks like a bitch, and every time he does, I want somebody to cave his head in with the butt of their gun, because crossbows don't kick. There's no explosive recoil. What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, it could have a lot of high tension and whatever, maybe. But yeah, a kick? What are you talking about?
What he's talking about? A little maybe bitch. Just being a wise ass. I don't know.
Yeah.
He admits to not even aiming for Daryl, which was
or
brutal.
Denise. No, he wasn't aiming for Denise.
Oh, sorry. I was aiming for Daryl, not Denise. Yeah. Oops. Sorry. Accidental
Whoopsie.
Death for Denise. Whoopsie. Accidents.
Ugh. Crush, it's not as refreshing as you hoped.
Yep. Fuck. Eugene spots Abraham, and we got a little standoff here, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And he's saying, you know, he says it's a very brief line, but he's saying, you know, I don't like to start off a business relationship like this. So they're implying that I think the Saviors are still even wanting to not crush out the Alexandrians, but get their reach around them and extort them like they've been doing everybody else.
Yeah, that's definitely their standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
Is to make these places their production factories, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to extinguish people. They want to basically force you into labor.
Yeah, and he's like, we're going to go in, we're going to take what we want and who we want, and that's it, or we'll kill all of you. That's that.
Yeah. Oof.
So Eugene's thinking on his feet. He spots Abraham. He knows Abraham moved from that position, but we don't at home, so we're like, what the fuck, did he rat out Abraham?
I know. It's like, wow, you really are a fucking nutless coward. I didn't really think that, but...
That bothered me badly when he was ratting out Abraham, but he must have already known Abraham had moved to the trees.
Yeah.
So he kind of sent them the wrong way, which was cool. I liked that.
He knew that he had to get them looking away. That was the most important thing.
That's right. Yep. And then he gives a fake position. He calls him a first-class a-hole. Eugene goes for Dwight's dick.
Woo! A big old mouthful, which, you know, it's it's impressive, but in the real world, if your Eugene gets a hold of somebody's dick with their mouth like that, I mean, you got to put them down. That's a by law thing. Even one time, they sink their teeth in. You can't let your Eugenes just go off like that. And it's not their fault. It's the master's fault. It's the master of the Eugenes.
Yeah, I say you put the master down. That's my opinion.
Oh, shit. But yeah, well, fucking crazy move. Didn't see that coming either.
Yeah, it's fucking silly a little bit.
I literally, yeah, on the second viewing, I kind of paused at the way he was doing that and was like, imagining trying to actually get my, like, teeth around, like, denim and, like, get a good actual fucking snake mouthful. I'm like, kid, that doesn't seem easy. That seems hard.
There's no way you can bite that dude's dick unless he's freeballing in sweatpants. He's wearing fucking jeans. It's just not going to happen.
His dick's just
he's
swaying jeans. In his swishy Jordans, just waiting for a nip.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if unless you see the fire helmet or elephant nose, I'm not sure. I don't know if you got a fire helmet or an elephant nose, but unless you actually see the imprint of it and you can, like, dive in like fucking Dracula's bride and get a hold of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you're wearing jeans, because you have to move fast enough to make contact with the dick. Okay? Yeah.
Or maybe and he just got the ball. He just nipped a bat wing. I don't know.
As your head flies in, right? Yeah, he could have just winged him. He might have just winged him with a ball. But yeah. As your head shoots in like a fucking king cobra and smashes into his genitals, you can't, I don't know how you apply the bite. I think as soon as your face mashes into the dick area,
yeah, he in starts the pubis to reel
area,
yeah.
I think his ass shoots away fast, like, oh, fuck, yeah. Right? And you don't actually get your mouth on the, I was like, what the fuck? Jesus Christ, man. He's got like a werewolf snout.
I taste copper.
Weird, man.
Fuck.
Abraham, is it weird that when I had my mouth on his dick, I also had a boner? Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird.
That's weird. And not just because of the dick in your mouth, but that you're inflicting so much pain on another person.
Yeah, so I was like, he got his dick? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
But it gives them all the opening they need for Daryl to slash a throat and start wreaking havoc with an AK.
Yeah, I would have been happy if he just hard headbutt him in the dick. Whap!
Yeah.
Oof. And down, and he just crumpled him, right?
Yeah.
The dick biting is fucking silly.
It's a little insane.
That's a little insane.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that Eugene had to do that. If it were somebody else, I'm kind of like, you know what? Yeah, you should do that, Eugene.
It doesn't make
fucking
any sense.
Work yourself up.
So that is the opening, and boom, Abraham opens up on the baddies. He gets a nice little rear flank.
Oh yeah.
I want shorter bursts. I know I'm being real picky now.
Oh, I know.
I just want brap 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 brap. I don't need like blah, 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 blah. Like you're fucking
three
never gonna
rounders.
Get anything. That's it, man. Mm-hmm. Abraham knows better. He's a military man.
That's true.
Daryl manages to get an AK, and then Rosita gets that fucking Colt law enforcement model 6920 carbine.
Oh, shit.
Music to my ears. Rack, rack, rack. She's fucking opening up on them little sluts.
Oh.
Oh, so sweet. That gun so she has good. Is so sweet.
Oh, it is good.
And that's beautiful. And,
I do like that she has to stay Daryl because he is ready to just pick up his crossbow as the guys are retreating and just chase them into the woods. He wants to get an arrow on Dwight so bad.
So bad. He wants Dwight to be dead.
I want him dead.
Yeah.
He killed Denise with your crossbow, fucking chuckleheads.
I know.
Because you're up there arguing and you didn't see him in the tree line.
Oh, yeah. He's pissed.
Because why? Sloppy.
Sloppy Joes.
Sloppy Joes. Mm-hmm. That's what these guys are. So,
Eugene
ends up getting hit, right? He gets shot when that fucking dude turns his pistol, and I'm assuming Dwight hits him.
I think so. He's laying up on the tracks, and mostly he's protected by the rail, it looks like, but I think he gets grazed pretty hard on the hip or the side by a bullet.
Yep. And then they carry him away, like some fucking platoon shit, the way they carry him out of there.
So fucking tragic, meaning they had to fucking leave, Denise's body just laying there on the tracks.
Yeah. Sorry,
and I guess they get it back later on where she's seen burying her.
They're certainly burying her, so they must have gone back out, I guess.
That's another risky-ass maneuver, but okay.
Sure. I guess they went back out.
Definitely see the impetus for that.
Sure. And at Alexandria, Eugene's like, I was not trying to kill you. I was looking for our opening. And, you know, he's like, you know how to bite a dick, Eugene. Welcome to stage two.
That's it.
And Eugene's like, well, I've been here for a while, dude. And Abraham goes to Sasha's house for some post-gunfight fucking.
For some sweet love. Which Sasha looks like she's ready to cry. Yeah.
I guess
they're a thing now. She's
like, did you break up with that other girl? Craig, come on in here.
Fine. Come in and hit it.
I like the way you work it. So Abraham goes to Sasha's house, and then Carol and Daryl bury Denise. Daryl does a shot for his homies in the 227. I don't know. You were right. I knew it. Sorry. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm doing a shot for my Tower boys.
Trailer Park Boys.
Where the fuck's Wallace at, String? You were right. I knew it when you said it. Carol then leaves?
This is what? Baffling. Like I was saying, they're like, whoa, what? And they're obviously meaning for it to be a surprise and be like, surprise, motherfuckers. Carol just abandoned. But this shit is, there's no real lead up. There is, like I was saying, a logical lead up. Oh, we've seen her having a lot of turmoil over the people she's killed. She's kept a diary about these things. She got napped with, Maggie and had to kill those women, which she felt terrible about. And they echoed her and she thought she could become these kinds of monsters. Oh, and she's worried about these things. That shit does not equal leaving. To me, like that does not, I do not see any of that input, any of those lead up events coalescing in Carol's brain and equaling time to leave. What? I don't buy it. I flat out don't buy it.
Yeah. It's weak.
It's weak. And I think, and what weirds me out about it, and I'm going to read one of our listener comments who I think makes a very interesting point about it, which might redeem it a little bit if it actually turns out this way. But if she just comes back like the way she did in late season four, she gets exiled and then she comes back and now she picks up the kids. It's like, well, it just, what's this going to happen point? Every other season? Yeah. Carol leaves and fucking comes back. Like, what is that? What a weird pattern of shit that would be.
It would be a weird pattern of shit, no doubt.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, dude. It's very odd.
Yeah. I don't get it. And also, she is worse than Morgan as far as I'm concerned now with the whole logic of I'm willing to kill and I have killed and I love you guys, but that would force me to kill to protect you, so I'm gonna leave. Yeah. What? I don't. It. What? It makes no sense. She's gonna wander off into the wilderness and certainly have to kill to survive. Certainly.
Let me give you some of what she said.
Sure.
This is how it has to be. We have so much here, everything we need to live. But what we have, other people want it. That will never change. If we survive, another one will be back to take what we have. I love you all here. I do. I'd have to kill for you, and I can't. I won't. I can't love anyone because I can't kill for anyone. So I'm going like I always should have. Don't come after me, please.
Crazy. Crazy talk,
I call bullshit.
Carol.
I call bullshit.
Yeah.
I call bullshit. I think this is bad writing.
This is, yeah.
It's stupid. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I call bullshit.
It's funny that, you know, there's not too many times where I'm willing to just go, fuck that, bad writing. This was just a bad choice. I usually, like I was saying before, you know, a couple episodes back, I try to stay within the logic of the show and go, okay, how did we get here? What did they give us to lead us to this place? Does it make sense? Can I see it? And I actually liked seeing Carol in some turmoil again. I liked that she was still trying to strike that balance and all. I don't buy that she would actually make the decision to just leave. Just
no.
Does not seem like where she has come. At all.
Her arc as a whole is like, all of a sudden, this is her new thing. And I mean, I can understand where you're starting to think about the things that you've done.
Sure.
Where once you have some downtime and you're sitting around on the couch, your sins return to haunt you. Because in the field, you don't have time for that shit.
Exactly.
You're trying to survive.
Yeah.
I could see her reflecting a little on the things that she's done. But I mean, she's been around forever. And doing what needs to be done and making the hard choices and going through this arc.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I feel like This was very rushed. For her to just up and bounce on people and assume no one's going to come looking for you?
Morgan is going to come looking for it. We end on his face. And Nando is asking in the chat what that noise was at the very end. I think that's her porch swing. Swinging,
it is her porch swing.
Yeah, it's swinging without her. You know, we've been seeing her sitting on that swing so much, collecting cigarettes in that ashtray. And Morgan, I think, is actually, the way I interpreted it, it's funny because I don't like this last scene of, you know, Carol's letter being read and her leaving. I think that's just like crazy. It makes no sense. But I like Morgan's reaction because it seems like he's almost feeling guilt for maybe muddying up her moral parameters, or he thinks that maybe he's guilted her or something. There's something in his face that makes it seem like he feels like he has the responsibility that he's the one who needs to go out and try and get her back. I feel like he's going to be the guy to talk her down.
Yeah, it's bizarro, man. She has to know that Daryl's going to come looking for her.
I would hope fucking so, but this show has not made much lately of the Care-Dare situation, which pisses me off.
No, but they're not. It's not a romance. It's just a mutual respect and companionship there.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that when he says, "Come here," in the last episode. Come he here. Went right to her. He embraced her. We know they still have a relationship of mutual respect and in a platonic, I guess you could say, love.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go after her immediately. It's not like she was banished. Like last time they banished her and Rick's like, sorry, this has to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was on board with that.
Yeah, I remember.
And now
that.
It's like, now it's like, she's like, all right, I'm out. I'm leaving. And to think no one's going to go after you.
Is silly.
I don't know.
Silly. It's just silly and dumb. Like, I don't, that's what bothers me about it, is I don't buy that Carol as a character is that dumb. Because
no.
I respect Carol. I like Carol. She's smart. She is fucking guile. She's got wit. And I don't buy that she would just be like, okay, well, never mind. I'm like a fucking teenager. I'm just going to bye, I guess. Don't come looking. Like, no, that's dumb. I don't buy it. Unless
the fact that she just leaves, I don't know. I don't get it. And I don't want to deal with like, oh, Carol comes back like the predator. She already did that. She already rescued them from fucking termites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She already did the, oh, I swoop back in with my stench coat and my sweet rifle and I save the fucking day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is going to lead to some shit with Carol, but I don't know. Does she not? I don't want to kill. Are you not going to kill out there? What are you going to do? Yeah. Are you going to be Morgan? What's your plan?
Exactly. It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I want to talk a little bit about what you're saying with Morgan, though. There's this thing where he's standing between the bench and he's standing between people carting weapons because obviously they're preparing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. That last.
And I like how Morgan is in the middle of that. He's physically and mentally in between two places. He's like, I can understand where Carol's coming from on wanting to bounce.
Yeah.
I could see Morgan bouncing easily. I could see him just being like, you know what? This ain't worth it. Not now that he's built the fucking jailhouse. But I could see him being like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to defend in this. Yeah. I'm just going to go live my life. I'm not going to go out on runs. I'm not going to become an assassin. He didn't go. He didn't go. He's not going to do that. But he's going to be the beneficiary of the fruits of that. So he's putting himself in a weird place, you know,
for his moral, yeah, his moral context. I'm going to go ahead. Something just entered my mind, and I'm going to throw out a prediction that if it actually comes true, would redeem this for me. And I want to see what you think. Maybe this is fucking Carol coming back to, you know, because what she says, the last thing we see her say on screen, you know, it's not a voiceover, is to Daryl that I knew you were right. They had to just, you know, as soon as you said it, I knew you were right. They had to just have been killed. Maybe she's actually putting up a smoke screen against everybody in Alexandria to say, don't come looking for me. I'm just having an emotional crisis and I'm choosing to leave and that's done. I'm just going away. Where she's really pretending to cut ties with them so that she can go join the Saviors, get all up in there and be in there for the shit that goes down later. I really hope that's true. I kind of know.
Like a deep cover story?
Like a deep cover story. I kind of know it's not true. I don't tell me, guys. I know. I fucking know. But I just let me believe.
I don't think.
Let me believe. Come on.
It's gonna happen. Sorry, man.
Fuck. Let me believe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's a weird play. That's a risky play. Like, what if they fucking just kill me?
Yeah.
What if they assume I'm trying to do deep cover shit, you know? People are smart out here, especially Negan's group.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see. I don't know. But it's weird.
It's weird. It's weird. It's the most unsatisfied I've been with the ending of an episode in quite a while.
Yeah, man. It's not good.
I do like the implication that Morgan's going to be a large part of the next episode. We haven't had a lot of Morgan in a while, and we need to get into that character.
Yeah. Carol's not out of the show. So
hell no. Yeah, absolutely.
My guess is maybe she gets captured.
Yeah. Although, I can't wait to get to my listener comment about this. Oof.
Oh, you have a listener comment for it? Mm-hmm. I have a feeling she might get captured. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Daryl goes after her. Maybe.
Which, again, you know, that's kind of, you know, I was talking, you know, we talked a lot earlier in the early part of the season about how some of this stuff was cool because they're kind of subverting some of the Walking Dead tropes that have started to come into existence. You know, going against these, you know, parlaying prisoner exchange shit, like when they just blew up the saviors at the road and everything. I don't, you know, we literally just had an episode where Carol got captured. I don't want to fucking see her get captured again.
Right.
Do we have to do that? Come on. Facts.
Yeah, I don't know. It's silly.
Yeah. For overall, a pretty good episode with, you know, the sloppiness is there, but the context and of the character dynamics and the story is cool. This ending just fucking comes out of nowhere and sucks.
Out of nowhere. And it sucks.
It sucks so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there we are.
I guess that's the episode. We're going to do some listener comments and final thoughts. What do you say?
I think it is about that time.
All right, let's cue it up. Why don't you start?
All right. I have Miss Karen Eagle Eye Lomas. And we are going to definitely be on the same page. Sloppy! Had time to think about it and can only describe it in one word. Sloppy. Denise is dead because you all got sloppy. What's the matter with you both, Daryl and Rosita? You just killed off more of Negan's men and you stop and have a discussion out in the open? What the fuck? Surprise, you didn't get them all. Even if you did kill them all, do you think you're the only group out there? Carol is holding back some valuable info. They are all Negan. She should have wrote that on the note before she left. The very mundane way things started out with one day bleeding into another can only lead me to believe that they thought they actually did kill everyone. Oh, and sorry, Spencer, in case you can't figure it out, you're the rebound guy. Nothing more. Love that there were two storylines, so you never really knew which character was going to bite the bullet. Speaking of biting the bullet, not only did Eugene grow a set of balls, he got an extra pair. Dwight's. Those burns on Dwight's face, probably the work of Negan teaching him a lesson. Very good catch, Karen. Thank God for kickback, or else my man Daryl would have been the one dead. Just proves the running theory that the show has been going with this season, that you've got to kill everyone. Seriously, mm-hmm. Very sad to see Denise go. She was one of the Alexandrians I thought could have become an important part of the core group. Do not love Tara. It never ends well. Carol leaving could either be a good thing, where she will be the one to save the group once again, or she will need saving this time, which I think, as you can tell from our groans, we don't want either of those.
Ugh.
But I'm going to jump now to just a couple of pieces from Bert Booker's comments.
I got two to read as well. So, I mean, if you want to fuck around, just fuck around.
Oh, yeah. No, and this was the most prescient point that he made, I thought was a really good call. He said, when Andrea pulled this separate herself from the group thing, she died. I wonder if Carol's fate may be the same. On second thought, losing a character doesn't need to result in death. The Walking Dead has never really eliminated an important character by having them just walk away. Maybe that's the angle here. That, as fucking anticlimactic as it would be, that's a good point. That's another one of those, like, we talked for a long time about a sudden, unannounced, just boom, no ceremony, here's a death. What about a person just saying, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, and they leave, even though they were an important, cherished character? They just leave.
I'm down.
I'm kind of more, I would rather, as much as I hate to say it because I love Carol as a character, I would rather have her just walk away and we never see her again, other than her coming back and saving them, or, like, we can't do that shit again and again.
Honestly, well, did we kind of see this with Morgan originally?
Sort of.
I don't, yeah, kind of.
Well, so, they just parted ways. That's what it was, yeah.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think Carol up and disappearing now, I think it's just really, really forced. I think no matter how you slice it, her exiting, like, I understand what Bert Booker's saying. He's like, how about she doesn't need rescuing or this or that, and she's just gone forever?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I could see that maybe being a thing.
It'd be interesting if she showed up like 2 seasons later too, maybe.
Yeah. But I almost feel like, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm down with that if it makes sense from the way the character has been going the whole time. And she wasn't, it's a very sudden turn of events for her.
So sudden. Yeah.
It's sudden to the point where it could just be like a mental crisis she's going through and she's just fleeing. She's just reacting. She's not giving it a lot of thought, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I think that would be cool if it was written in a cool way.
Yeah.
I guess is my very non-verbose way to say it.
It could be cool if it were cool.
If it was cool, it would be cool. But if it's not cool, it's not going to be cool.
Fucking thanks. Cool. It'd be fucking like gnar cool.
Thanks for tuning in to this podcast and all its wonderful insight.
Oh, shit.
All right, I'm going to start with Scott Buchanan. With Denise and Carol out of the way, my two favorites are no more, and my recently acquired compelling interest in TWD starts to disappear up its own ass. I know post-apocalyptic means characters die, but gotta say, this constant turnover, Game of Thrones style, was a big reason I lost interest in the first place. Sometimes it's okay to have a win, even if just for a moment. I'll let my partner tell me how it ends.
Damn, so, we lost Scott!
I wanted to read this. I wanted to,
he's done.
Almost Hot Scott is out of here.
Scott, come back.
I wanted to bring this up a little bit and see if we could maybe chat about it and tell me what you think about that. I mean, he's just pulling the ripcord. He's done.
Oof. Well, I mean, and that's, you know, that's a delicate balance for a show like this to walk of you are in a universe where people are getting killed. And, you know, it is like, it's a good point to bring up. It is like Game of Thrones, you know, and that's got everybody jokes that these shows are competing for who can kill the most precious character fast, you know. But you can't just wantonly kill off all of your characters, and especially people you've come to really love and appreciate. And yeah, it's a fine line. I don't know. I mean, Denise is a character. That's why we've harped on it. You know, her death mattered because she was an interesting character and because we cared about her. And it was
she had a lot of growth opportunity.
A lot of opportunity that is stripped away and is a loss. And that's what makes that death matter. But how many of those deaths can we sustain? Like, is it just going to be, you know, oh, a new character's here. How soon are they going to die? Like,
it's funny when you lose characters like this, it's almost like it's a metaphor for the actual show. It's like people like Scott will drop off. It's like Alexandrians who are just like, yeah, I'm not down with this new world. Fuck it. I'm just going to let myself go into the great, great oblivion. Right.
And then there's
characters like Rick who are just like, I'm just going to be a monstrous fucking murderer. And that's like the rest of us sticking around like, fuck it. We're just going to keep diving deep with this crazy TV show that just keeps murdering people.
Other people
are like, fuck this. I'm tapping out. I'm done. I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's your choice. I think I don't begrudge anybody for spending time the way they want to spend time, especially if one of the things I said is that the mainstays are losing interest, and apparently Scott's more along that line than I am. Like, he's seeing more of a much less interest in the show at this point.
Mm-hmm.
With Carol out of the way and Denise gone, I mean, his two favorite characters are out. What's left for him to stick around for if he's not as interested in the main characters anymore? I mean, that's a legit thing. I don't think anybody's stupid, or I don't begrudge anyone who doesn't want to watch anymore because,
I mean, if the show, even though we know it's not going to happen, if the show killed off Rick next episode, would you keep watching?
Yeah, I guess I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't quit. Here's where I would quit, and maybe this is part of what Scott's saying, is that if the show got bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
And some people would argue, oh, it has. It's fucking lame.
That's fine.
Now. Yeah.
And that's fine. If you want to bounce because you think the show is bad, if you want to bounce for any reason, bounce. You're a fucking grown up. I'm down with that, dude. But me personally, if my favorite characters die or this or that and that sucks, that's fine as long as the show stays good.
Right? Yeah.
If my favorite characters are alive and the show gets bad, I'm not going to watch it anymore. I'm just going to tune the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it comes down to for me. How good is the show? How bad is the show? And if Denise and Carol dying means you're like, you know what, the show's just fucking silly, then I totally back Scott's move here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I'm along for the ride. I'm going to stick it out.
You're going to stick it out. I got one more to read. And I really hope to get your opinion on this.
Ooh.
Because I thought it was something we should have talked about and we didn't.
Oh.
Paul Siciliano. Eugene becomes the worst kind of biter in the apocalypse. This whole episode of people trying to get hard had me on edge. I knew one of them was going to get someone killed. Everyone, okay, this is the part of this comment that is open for really long discussion, in my opinion. Everyone needs to realize it's not about good and bad right now or wrong. Don't take chances. Don't allow liabilities. Abraham is right. Eugene and Denise can learn all they want in case of extreme emergency, but they should play their role and keep their asses in town. Now we have no doctor. He says some more shit about Carol, but I'm not interested as much in that because that is fucking a compelling and thought-provoking sentence.
That's it.
Paul is sounds like, and I'm going to paraphrase, it sounds like Paul saying, get in line, do your fucking thing, and that's that. What do you think about that, man?
I mean, at the end of the day, I agree. I mean, and we basically said as much in a way of, you know, like you were joking earlier, like, hey, going out on a run in the fucking basically a war zone is not the time for my personal growth. I'm going to eat. I'm going to fucking read Eat, Pray, Love while we walk on the tracks and figure myself out. Like, no, not the time. Like, this is not the time for that shit. And and yeah, and of course, like those are perfectly legitimate wants and authentically, you know, human desires to grow and face your fears. But that's kind of like a first world human desire. Like, you are not in, you know, this is not modern day comfortable world anymore. Like, this is basically a constant war zone. That those comforts of, you know, getting to sit down and just think about me and like figure myself out. What do I want out of life? Like, that's not really a priority anymore. That kind of falls by the wayside. If you have the time to think about these things at home, behind the walls, fine. But yeah, at the end of the day, and I think, you know, Eugene makes a good point of we should all be expanding and diversifying their set of skills, and that's a perfectly good point. But I do think in this world, I think with Eugene, it's less of an issue because he's kind of just like an idea guy, like a science guy, sort of. He's very much less defined than Denise. Denise, like we were saying, is their only doctor. Like, that is to be taken so much more seriously. Like, you can't fuck off with that. Same as if, you know, Hilltop has an OBGYN. Like, so if you have a pregnant woman in the town, don't send your OBGYN on fucking, you know, raids. Like, that's done. Sure. Like, that's just not a thing. It's not like, well, you know, I'm choosing to do it because I think there might be a can of soda out there I really want. Like, no, too bad. Like, that you have to prioritize, for one, I think, really, for the sake of the community. That's something that I feel like is lacking there. Like you were saying earlier, there's a lot of selfishness in these decisions where it's like, you have to lock arms as a community to survive in this world, and you have to put those personal notes of bravery and what you want out of life aside. And I think to do that, you fully embrace your role and you live it out to the extent. With Eugene, like I was saying, less of an issue, but Denise, she shouldn't have even been out there. She, you know, they should have harped on, you're only doctor, you stay here. If things change, then things change, but that's in the future.
Yeah. Play their role and keep their asses on the other side of the walls. All right. I think I've made it pretty clear how I feel about a lot of the stuff you just summarized, which is what we've been talking about the whole episode, and that's having contingency plans, having a better defense set up, having a structure to your runs where there's somebody in command and you are in a war zone. You're not dilly-dallying like it's Stand By Me and you're waiting for Gordy LaChance to race you to the fucking pond, right? That's not what you do when you go out on runs. You stick to the fucking protocol. Your runs aren't time for your emotional fucking growth. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to take you out and to be, yay, cute. Not far, far out of the walls like that. If you want to do that in the yard, in front of the walls, near the guard tower, whatever the fuck, you do all that shit. We've said it ad nauseum. But on the flip side, I think that diversity is very important with this group. These people will not be their happiness, their efficiency will tank if you pigeonhole them into simple fucking functions.
Yeah.
If you're like, you're a doctor, you stay here. You're idea guy, you do this. You're like, they can't just exist like that. People don't exist that way.
No.
That doesn't work. People exist that way when they go to work. Like, when you go to work, you're like, all right, I'm this function. I fucking take my fries, I put them in the fryer later, I hear the thing beep, I take the fucking quarter pounders out. They're just functions. You're fucking robots. You have to be more than that, right?
You worker drones. Yeah, no, I see your point, though.
No, but that's my point. that's you become a function when you're at work, and you're and I'm not saying all work, or maybe there's different levels of it. You know what? If you're offended, go fuck yourself. You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm fucking trying to say. And I've been there. Trust me.
Yeah,
I'm a function. I fucking do shit for my job so they can make more money and they pay me to do that. That's what happens. That's the long and short of it. But I think when you're in this situation, these people have to diversify. They have to do more. They have to stretch out a little bit. They have to get better at what they have to embrace more. They have to cross train.
Yes.
But
yeah,
they have to do it in a fucking controlled setting, and people have to fall in line when they're out doing shit and not be sloppy. So yeah, I thought that was good thought-provoking stuff from Paul. I appreciate him saying that. So yeah, I guess that's it, man. I guess that's our listener comments. Let's wrap with our final thoughts, which we have most of. And why don't you start things off with that, or unless you want me to go?
I can start. I mean, I feel like my final thoughts are going to be brief this time. I feel like we have summarized ourselves pretty well in this episode. I do think, you know, overall, I like this episode less than last week's and probably even the one before. Which sucks because it has a powerful moment. You know, Denise's death, like we've said, was powerful and shocking and terrible because of how interesting and good of a person she was. Genuinely tragic loss for the show in a well-done way. But the surprise fucking rabbit out of the hat of Carol at the end just really sucks. Really don't like that. Makes no sense. I'm not into it. Unless my prediction comes true of fucking Splinter Cell super agent Carol going behind enemy lines, I'd be totally down for it. Please, God, let it be true, even though it's not. But still. So I don't hate the episode, but that really bogged it towards the end there. But yeah. No, I'm definitely interested to see. What I'm looking forward to next is hopefully an episode that has a lot more Morgan and seeing where that takes us. And I have the dark fear that Daryl is going to be headed back down towards the Rick hardcore dictatorship path himself after losing God, his only other friend practically. So yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
I think that the post-apocalyptic world is tragic and tough, and it takes people from you. And in a meta sense, you're dealing with a television show. And it can't just be chaos and death all the time. There has to be some story arcs here.
Yeah.
I think that Denise had a high, high ceiling for growth and potential, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody disputes that. I think she was very interesting. I think she had a lot going on. I can't quite say why. She was charming. I liked her. I liked her as a character.
Yeah, she was funny. And she, I think what charmed me about her is that she held her own amongst people who were more competent physically as far as like fighting skills or anything like that, but she wasn't timid. You know, she could talk to them and be sarcastic and cynical towards them and just kind of hold her own. Like, she was just interesting and funny, smart.
She was interesting because we can relate to her because she felt the fear and did it anyway, like that stupid book, right?
Yeah.
You could see the fear in her face when things got crazy. And she did it anyway. That is something that we understand. We have a tendency to root for the underdog. We want somebody to rise above. That's something that we like in our stories. And she was a character who was doing that. And she was doing it again in this episode, although bad timing, got herself killed.
Yeah.
And that's that. Now, it's not her fault she died. It's the fucking murderers that killed her.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, bad timing, and this is brings it back to the whole conversation we've already had about them tightening up the ship. Now, that being said, outside of Denise's death, which was powerful, the episode isn't particularly great to me.
Yeah, not a strong episode.
The Carol stuff was whatever. Not much happened up until Denise decided to, I'm going to be strong. I liked Eugene kind of telling off Abraham. I'm looking forward to what they do with Eugene here. I think that that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's all I really have to say about this. I'm looking forward to how this is going to go forward. We know that they're gearing up for an issue. Now they know shit's hectic. We saw them wheeling the guns at the end. Morgan caught in the middle there. What's he going to do? Is he going to pick up a gun or is he going to go after Carol? Probably going to go after Carol. What's Daryl going to do? Is he going to go after Carol or is he going to stay? Is Rick going to be like, you have to stay here. We need you to fight. You can't go after her. Maybe. That'd be the smart move, Daryl, but, you know, sometimes he likes to go off on his own.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
so yeah, man.
I think we haven't mentioned her name, Merritt Weaver. Merritt Weaver is the actress who played Denise, and you got to give her the credit. I mean, she was just a really solid actress, really convincing. She was good. R.I.P. Denise.
R.I.P. Denise. So yeah, that's my final thoughts this week. That's all I got left. What do you got? Two episodes left, one, and then a 90-minute episode.
Yeah, our 90-minute finale with our man Negan showing up.
Negan showing up in the end. So he'll be a fucking big bad all next year, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's it, man. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. I am tapped. I think I've said it all.
Whew, same.
Yeah. We will be back to record live on Mixler again next week at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's PM. So make sure you follow the links in the show notes to get you there. But thanks for stopping by. Matthew, why don't you bid these good people adieu, and we will get up out of here.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time. Right, we're done.
Done and done.
Done Whew. And done. Can I say one thing?
Uh-oh.
If you're still in the chat and you don't want comic book spoilers, I urge you to pause. I'm going to give you, I don't know. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Not even. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to log off if you do not want comic book spoilers.
No, it's only Nando and MTZ.
All right, well, they have been warned. If they don't stop it, that's their problem. So here's spoilers inbound for comic.
Oh, boy.
Do you know what happens in the comic here?
As far as who Negan kills?
Nope. In the comic book,
okay.
Abraham and Eugene go out.
Oh.
And Eugene wants the blessings of Abraham to pursue Rosita romantically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and I saw that coming. That's something we didn't talk about.
That's fine, but that's not even the spoiler.
Okay.
Then, as they're talking, Abraham gets a fucking crossbow bolt in the head. Dead.
Gotcha. See, I think so they swapped killed, that.
They swapped it. Yeah, they killed Abraham instead of Denise.
Ooh.
I mean, they killed Denise instead of Abraham in the comic. Now, we all know that Glenn gets the bat.
Oh, yeah, in the comic. Yeah.
In the comic book, he gets killed with a baseball bat, and it's fucking brutal. He gets hit in the head, his eye pops out.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
He's fucking like twitching and dying on the ground, and then they just bash his fucking brains in while they make everyone watch, because they got like 50 guys.
Oh, yeah. Totally overwhelming.
A shitload of guys. And Rick can't do jack shit. He's forced to sit there and take it, which I think is pretty fucking badass.
It's fucking terrible. Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, a fucking bat kill? Oof. Brutal.
Yeah. I really don't think it's going to be Glenn getting the bat. It's going to be somebody else.
So, now that they have not killed Abraham, and they've killed Denise instead, is Abraham going to last? One.
Mm.
Right? This is total not going to be in the show. This is all spoiler talk from the comics.
Yeah.
Two, if Carol goes out and gets grabbed by Negan, does Carol get the bat?
I've wondered that. I thought, you know, like I was saying in the last episode, I thought she was on the fucking chopping block along with Daryl. I thought
Lucille,
the most at-risk people for the bat are, and I still think this, Carol, Daryl, and Maggie. Those are our candidates.
Yep.
I think Glenn's almost totally safe. I don't think he's getting it at all.
He might be. Maybe Daryl goes out. Maybe they have Carol and it comes down to an exchange. I mean, we do this shit again. Like you said, are we going to do the same thing again? The same fucking... like story trope, like, oh, we got your guy, we're gonna do a change. Maybe not. Maybe they're like, hey, we have her, come out here, and maybe Daryl goes, hey, take me instead.
Ooh, yeah. Shit. That's not bad.
I don't know.
That's not bad.
But it's not Daryl's fault that she went out there. Nobody's real. So I don't know, man.
It's definitely up in the air. I mean, I don't think anybody's prediction is better than anybody else's. Other than I think Glenn is too obvious a choice. That's not going to happen. I really don't think so.
In Abraham's dying when he gets the crossbow bolt in his head, and he's telling Eugene to go ahead and pursue Rosita if you want to. And then he gets whapped.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, crazy.
Damn. Crazy. Damn. And that's the thing. Yeah, they had that very brief conversation in the show where he's like, I'm all game. I'll spit game. And he's like, what yes. are you getting at? Why are you asking about this? And I think, yeah, he wants a piece of that Rosita.
Yeah, he sure does.
Or as she says it, Rosita.
Rosita. What do you want? What do you want, Puto? What do you want, Puto?
I knew it. I could hear that pee getting ready to pop.
What you want, Puto?
You want
yeah. Fucking anything you are willing to give
me,
Rosita. So yeah, man, I don't know, dude. It's pretty wild to think about the predictions that could be what could be coming for our heroes, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abraham gets it. So maybe he's gonna stick around. With Carol leaving, I don't know. I know Glenn gets Lucille'd to death.
In the comics.
But who's to say? Who's to say what happens? But, yeah, I
went down a rabbit hole of Walking Dead comic spoilers not too long ago, and one thing, and this is
you don't be careful, because I know is Glenn's death and Abraham's death.
All right. So I'll stop myself.
I don't want to be spoiled.
I'm a bad boy. I'm gonna fucking hang it over your head like the sword of Damocles. Anytime I just fucking drop this shit, don't fucking piss me off.
The sword of Damocles.
Fucking drop.
Fucking escape from L.A. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. I think we're gonna call it a night, though. Whew. Just wanted to do a quick spoiler chat with you because I was curious about that stuff.
Yeah. No, we never get to talk about that on the show. All those delicious, savory spoilers.
Delicious and savory spoilers, yeah.
Whew, you got a long episode.
All right, guys. We're going to, a couple hours. That's good, though. I'll take it.
Nice.
All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. We will catch you next time. You guys have a great night. Matthew, I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, man.